I love Pastor Rich. You know, you make some friends along the ministry that make an impact in your life, and Pastor Rich is one of those people. And I want to, first of all, thank this church for the way they're taking care of my family, my grandchildren. And I miss my grandchildren. But it's nice to know that there's a church that loves them. And that I love my son-in-law. He is not my son-in-law, he's my son. And love him as well, love him. You know, we prayed for him since the day my daughter was born. We did. We said, Lord, bring by a godly man that will serve you, that will love you. And Lord, let me know when that time it is, because I wasn't ready for that. In fact, anybody came near my baby, and Donald can attest, I was mean, but I was protecting my investment, and I wanted to make sure it's the right man when he came along. And you know what? I remember till this day, and I'm not going to be long with this, but the first time I heard him preach, and he preached, we had a trailer ministry. Remember that, brother? We had a trailer ministry that was in our, it was filled with young people, and we filled it with the most problematic youth that came on our bus route. We always, hey, we didn't send them home, amen? We ministered to them, and so we got this group together, and one day I said, well, some of you want to be here and some of you don't. So I said, who doesn't want to be here? And about two of them raised their hand. I said, Donald, I'm taking them home and you're preaching. So Donald came in and he preached, and he used a bottle of Gatorade, and he said, this refreshes, replenishes, and renews. And he preached on what Christ does, the same thing for you. And I tell you, I walked out of that place in tears, and I said to my wife, I said, I wish he would take an interest in my daughter. And my wife said, he already has, long, long ago. And the rest, you know the story. And we're just so thankful for him and so thankful for your ministry here. I'm a little bit nervous, but I also tend to yell a lot. So if you have a problem or hearing aids, you might want to turn them down a bit. But Genesis 38 this morning. And I want to give you just a view of grace. We're all debtors of grace. I'm a debtor of grace. I thank God for the grace that is in Jesus Christ. Amen. If sometimes we need to take a look back and say, where would I be today if it were not for the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ? Before we respond, before we act, before we do some things, sometimes we just need to take a look back and find out, where would I be without the grace of the Lord? Genesis 38, I'm just going to go to the end here. And it came to pass, verse 38, 29, and it came to pass that as he drew back his hand, that, and you got to forgive me a bit because my eyes are going. And it came to pass that as he drew back his hand, that behold, his brother came out. And she said, hast thou broken forth? This breach be upon thee. Therefore his name shall be called Phares. And afterward came out his brother that had the scarlet thread upon his hand, and his name was called Sarah. And I'm just going to go through the beginning of that, through that chapter a little bit, and explain some things, and hopefully it'll be a blessing to you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that I can be here this morning. Lord, how wonderful to be with these people, with my dear friends, Lord, and my family this morning. I pray that you will prepare our hearts, Father, this morning to speak to us. Help us to lift you up, to glorify you, Lord. It's not any other purpose which I'm here, but to bring you glory and praise. And we pray this morning, Lord, that you so just be glorified in the hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. I am so thankful for the grace of God that is in Jesus Christ. And I tell you, it's not just in Thanksgiving. Amen. I'm thankful every day. I'm thankful because I'm, you know, to think about everything that God has given me thus far, and I deserve none of it. And you deserve none of it. You know what? If God really gave us what we deserve, we wouldn't be here right now. But it was because of his grace, because of his love. You know, God, I heard a story of a long time ago of a captain that was going out to sea, and he would leave his daughter in charge with this nanny that tended to be very ruly nanny. And so he found out that when he came back from one of his trips that she had gotten into some kind of trouble, and she made her stand in a corner for hours. And so the father, being, you know, because he wasn't there all the time and wanting to make the next time she was punished a pleasant experience, even though he knew she had to be punished, but because he wasn't there to comfort her afterwards or deal with her afterwards, he decided that he would commission an artist. And so the corner where she stood, he commissioned the artist to paint pictures, pleasant pictures, that the next time she stood in that corner, the punishment would be dealt, but she would be able to endure it as she gazed upon the pleasant pictures. I'm thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ, because in this corner of this book, He's painted pictures of grace. Sure. Folks, can I submit to you this morning? We don't fall from grace, we fall into it. Yeah. You look at every biblical person that's a man. If I look at the life of Moses, you know, Moses killed somebody. And if you were to ask him today, hey, Moses, when you killed somebody, did you fall out of grace? He would say to you, no, I fell into grace. Yes, it was harsh and I had to go to the desert, but God had me meet up with a family and a man. And I tell you, I got my wife, and then He made me a deliverer. I didn't fall out of it. I fell into it. If you were to ask David this morning, David, you committed adultery. You did all these things that were wrong. You were punished for it. Yes. Did you fall out of grace? He said, well, you know, God, I was the man that God had chosen. And yes, I failed Him. And I tell you, I lost a precious child because of it. But then I fell into grace, because God gave me another child, and that child became king, and he became Solomon, and he was asked of God what he wants. He said, all I want is wisdom. And if I were to tell you today, I didn't fall out of grace, I fell into it. If you were to ask Saul of Tarsus if he fell out of grace, he will tell you, no, I fell from a horse. But I didn't fall out of grace. I fell into it. God changed my name and gave me a whole new beginning. And I was able, hallelujah, to help churches establish themselves. And with a pen, God gave me the ability to reach others for Jesus Christ. And now I'm a messenger and adapter of grace. But sometimes, folks, sometimes, even like in this book of Genesis, we see the story of Judah and Tamar. Now, I can read some of the pages to you. Some of the stuff I will not. And you can read it on your own private time. By the way, you ought to be studying your Bible. It's a good thing to read your Bible at your time. And I don't mean that you're not doing it, but just a reminder. It's good to be reminded. Amen. But it says, and it came to pass that at that time that Judah went down into certain of the Anamites whose name was Hira. And Judah saw there a daughter of a certain Canaanite whose name was Shua, and he took her and went into her, and she conceived and bare a son and called his name Er. And she conceived again and bare a son, and she called his name Onan. And she conceived again, and she yet again conceived and bare a son and called his name Shelah, and was at Sheshib, and she bare him. And Judah took a wife from Er, his firstborn, whose name was Tamar. And Judah's firstborn, was wicked in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord slew him. And Judah said unto Onan, go into thy brother's wife and marry her and raise her up to thy brother. And Onan knew that the seed should not be his. And it came to pass that he went into his mother's wife, and that he spilt it on the ground, and that he should give the seed on the ground, that lest he should give his seed to his brother. And the thing which he did displeased the Lord, whereof he slew him also. Then said Judah unto Tamar, his daughter-in-law, remain in a widow in thy father's house till Shelah thy son be grown. For he said, lest peradventure he die also. And his brethren did, and Tamar went in and dwelt in her father's house. Now, one of the things I love about the book of Genesis, really, it's a book of beginnings and origins. You know that 48 chapters in the book of Genesis deal totally with the history of man. Only two of them deal with creation. You know, and today in America, we have it backwards. You know, we think creation is more important than man. God's concerned about man. God's concerned about souls. God's concerned about the lives of others. And here in this book of Genesis, we see type of a dysfunctional beginning. You know, that families, you know, all are different. Amen? Every situation and every family is different. One of the things I love about the bus route is we get to minister to people that we know otherwise can reach. Some of them that may have what is termed today as dysfunctional home. Did you know that the solution for a dysfunctional home is the same solution for a functional one? Jesus Christ. For every situation, I found that in life, that the answers to the world's needs is the grace of Jesus Christ. If a daddy can get saved, man, he can become one of the best daddies in the world when he truly loves the Lord. A mom can be the best mom in the world when she truly loves the Lord. Because we know our responsibility and we know where we fall into. But here we have this situation of a family that's beginning, and we see their lives beginning. All of a sudden, one is slain because of his wickedness. God took him. By the way, God still doesn't put up with wickedness. He still hates wickedness. In this country, we have become, it just amazes me how we have accepted wickedness like second nature. By the way, folks, homosexuality is still a sin. God has not changed his mind about that. And if anybody wants to take me off the network, that's fine. But you're not going to take me from preaching the truth of the Word of God. It's in the book. And I have a right to say what I have to say. Listen, it happens all the time. We treat in this country dysfunction as a norm. We accept things that are done as a norm. Can the answer be the same? Yes, the grace of Jesus Christ. And here, this father all of a sudden this lost two sons because of Tamar. And boy, I tell you, the story unfolds like a movie, really. The other two sons, he's lost, and he said, look, why don't you remain here till I give you the older one? He makes her a promise. You're going to be part of my inheritance, but you got to remain here till the boy is old enough to marry you. And all of a sudden, as a father, I can understand why he's worried. She's married too. And they're both gone. So what's he saying? Maybe in his mind he's saying, well, if I give him this one, I'm not going to have any left. Right? And so he human reasons that way, and we see how the situation plays out. She dresses like a harlot, and her own father-in-law wickedly sleeps with her, and so on. And so he has no money because it's still, wickedness never gets any better. Sin never stands still. It just gets worse and worse. This is why we need to preach the grace of Jesus Christ. Because in our nation, if we don't stand behind the message of salvation, what hope does our nation have? And so we see here that the wickedness gets worse and worse. And all of a sudden, even the father-in-law now is involved. And so all of a sudden, and I'll pick it up here, some of the details you can read for yourself. And she heard this message. She dressed herself as a harlot. And the action that took place forced a pregnancy. And all of a sudden, she asked him for something. And he said, what pledge shall I give thee? And she said, thy signet. And she said, thy signet, thy bracelets, and thy staff that is in thy hand. And he gave it to her, and he committed the act. Verse 19, and she arose and went away, and laid by her veil from her, and put on the garments of widowhood. And Judah sent a kid by the hand of a friend, the Adullamite, to receive his pledge, the woman's hand, but he found her not. And then he asked of the man of that place, saying, where is the harlot that was openly by the wayside? And he said, there was no harlot in this place. And he returned to Judah. And he said, I cannot find her. And also the man of that place said, that place was no harlot in this place. And Judas said, let her take it to her, lest we be shamed. Behold, I sent this kid, and thou hast not found her. And it came to pass that 3 months after that it was told Judas, saying, Tamar, thy daughter-in-law hath played the harlot, and also behold, she is with child by whoredom. And Judas said, bring her forth, and let her be burnt. It is amazing to me how people who have been given mercy will be sometimes the less to show mercy. Here he is. He comes to a situation. He's committed a sin. And what does he try to do? Cover up his sin. Go take this, because I don't want to be ashamed. I don't want to get caught in what I've done. I know it's wicked, so make sure that she gets paid, because man, if this breaks out, it's going to be a scandal. By the way, we live in a scandalous times, don't we? Our lust sometimes gets you into trouble. Listen, that I think as a country, and by the way, I love the United States. I am an American citizen, okay? Let me make that clear. I think it's the greatest country in the world. My son serves as a Marine, amen? We love this country. I taught my children to love this country. But I ache for the spiritual condition of our country. And so, here is this man trying to cover up his sin. You know, the Bible says, whosoever covereth his sin shall not prosper. And he tries to cover his sin. And all of a sudden, now there's someone, he finds out that his daughter-in-law, which, by the way, should have been a widow, now is pregnant. What a scandal. You know what he was afraid of? The name that would come to his family. And he says, have her burnt! Kill her! She's done wrong! Kill her! And boy, doesn't it play just like a movie. All of a sudden, she turns to him and she says, I am pregnant by the man whose staff and signet and bracelet this are. Now, I'll tell you what, when you're confronted with your own sin, be sure your sin will find you out. I don't care who you are that stands through to today, your sin will find you out. Confronted with his own sin, at the beginning, he's ready to burn her. Set her on fire. But what a cruel way to go, isn't it? Set her on fire. Burn her. Do away with her. Listen, there's people that would love to hide their sin right now. Let's get rid of it. It doesn't work that way. And all of a sudden, as he is ready to burn her, and she bears the things that belong to him, he's faced with the fact that he is just as bad a sinner as her. You know, Scripture says we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And folks, may I submit that sometimes some people forget that? When we approach people who are in a condition, listen, you know why sinners sin? Can I tell you why? Because they're sinners. Right? That's why they sin. They don't know how to behave any better. But folks, it's up to us to show them the love and the mercy of Christ. We don't condone their sin, but we tell them that there's a way out. There's no better news for the sinner than to tell them that he no longer has to be a sinner. That he no longer has to be under the weight of the guilt of sin. That he can be set free. Man, that's the great news of the gospel. I can be free. And in the grace and the mercy of God, you know, she confronts him. And he has no recourse but to admit fault. What does he say? She is more righteous than I. All our righteousness is as filthy rags before the Lord. I heard two types of an illustration of what that filthy rag is. One of them is an illustration that it was a leper, a rag that was used to cure the wound of a leper, a pussy wound of a leper. And in those days, in biblical times, if there was another illustration on that, but I won't give it to you right now, but it was to use the wound, all you could do with that was burn it. It was no good. And the truth of the matter is, our righteousness is as filthy rags before the Lord. It is enough to, listen, if you looked at that pussy rag, it would make you sick. Your righteousness makes God sick, if I could put it that way. Because it's no good. But then he who knew no sin, God made to be sin, that I might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. It's not my righteousness, it's his. If you're righteous today, listen, I'm for holy living, amen? I believe in holiness. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. And listen, I believe that we ought to live holy. I believe that we ought to separate ourselves from sin, put ourselves distant from it. Listen, but I'll tell you one thing. I never forget that I was a sinner. And it's because of his righteousness and his grace. All of a sudden, Judah finds himself confronted with a sin. That's why, listen, before anybody can get saved, they have to realize that they're lost. They have to realize that they're sinners. They have to realize that they are partakers, that they, in order to partake of the grace, we need to come through as sinners and receive forgiveness. And forgiveness is found in the blood of Jesus Christ. And listen, I'm glad I'm saved from the presence, the power of sin. Amen. I'm delivered, and here he finds himself, and he's ready to do away with her. And I just want to give you, what is the picture of grace that we see here? And then you see now she bears two sons. And so look at this verse that I read to you in the beginning. And it came to pass that she would travail greatly for her sons. And the time, look at verse 27, and it came to pass at the time of travail that behold, twins were in her womb. And it came to pass that she travailed, that one put out his hand, and the midwife took and bound upon his hand a scarlet thread, saying, this came out first. And it came to pass that as he drew back his hand, that he behold, his brother came out. And she said, how has that broken forth? This breach be upon thee, therefore thy name shall be called Phares. And I looked up that name. What does the name mean? It means broken. It means that it was a broken name. It was a broken birth. You know, God's plan for the beginning was for man to live eternally. But because of sin, we were born with sin. You may be here this morning thinking you're all right and you're not saved. You've done all you can. You're good enough. But let me tell you something. You have sin in your nature. You were born with sin and into sin. And because we were born from a sinner, we're all sinners. Amen? So therefore, here is this broken birth. This first birth was a breech birth. It was a broken birth. The second birth was the one that had the crimson thread. What is that? What does his name mean? It means sunrise. Sunrise. I want you to know, it's not the first birth that counts, it's the second birth. Amen? Yes, you were born into this world, but it's the second birth in Jesus Christ. Ye must be born again, that gives you eternal life. That crimson thread, listen, in this Bible there is a crimson thread from beginning to end. This book, it's the story of redemption of mankind through Jesus Christ, and it happens through grace. A second birth. Sunrise. That's the one with the crimson thread. That's the grace of God. How is that second birth coming about? The moment I put my trust in Jesus Christ, listen, and the moment I accepted Him as my personal Savior, listen to this, I was born into the family of God. I like that song. I'm so glad that I'm in the family of God. How did it happen? Listen, because he cleansed me with his blood. Woo! I'm thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ. Because of grace. Because of, listen, and where do we see the picture of grace? Go with me to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Yes, this was a kind of weird situation that it all came about. a weird situation that we see Judah and Tamar. But look at this. This is the beauty of this. How does the grace of God work? The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judah and his brethren. And Judas begat what? Phares and Sarah. And of Tamar. Listen, not only does the grace of God reach, we find them where? In the lineage of Jesus Christ. Man, I'm glad that it's because of grace. We find ourselves in this lineage, folks. If you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, He became my elder brother. Amen? Because it wasn't the broken birth. It was sunrise. And the Son, whom the Son sets free, is free indeed. Why? Because of grace. We're all debtors of grace this morning. Listen, if you have not reached the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, today is the day you can partake of His grace. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father.